Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Ellis.
I'm Alan.
I'm Claire.
And you're in this, now this is fun. Band, project, or burrito?
It's definitely a burrito.
Yes,
definitely, definitely.
Black beans or the fattening beans?
Refried.
Refried beans, yeah. And that, yeah. And it's called, who wants to do it? Come on.
San Fermin.
2013 debut, Chamber Pop, Brooklyn, Massachusetts. It was Berkeley, a songwriting thing. There was classical training. There was our friends Lucius, who have actually been on this thing. We're done. The interview's over. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to talk about.
The first time we ever played a show, we played in a room for about 100 people, and Ellis and I were both so nervous that we had to take like a 3-block, maybe 4-block, just lap around that part of New York, just walking through the neighborhood going like, it'll be fine. I mean, like, even if we crash, like, most of these are our friends, it's going to be fine.
By taking a 3-block walk at that time of night around Bushwick.
No.
Not so smart.
I think we were in the East Village. It was a little safer.
The thing that I've never told anyone about this band is that when Alan and I met, we were both at Berklee School of Music, as I have told you before. We were just doing a summer program. And Alan asked me to borrow my acoustic guitar to do a performance. And he like scraped it all up while he was playing. And he gave it back to me. And I remember thinking, this guy kind of sucks. But I guess I'll never see him again, so it's fine.
I moonlight like as Pamela Anderson.
I want to just clear up a whole pile of stuff. Because there's Berklee, there's Yale.
I went to Yale as an undergrad. And so did Steven, our sax player. And that's where we met. But Alan and I met at Berklee College of Music. Like, it was like a summer program for horny teens, basically.
So let's get music geeky, just for kicks. Chamber. I'll do it in the full announcer voice. Ready?
Yeah.
Chamber pop. Let's blow this up. Back to horny. Back to horns. Back to classical arrangements. Hello, Eleanor Rigby. Hello, A Day in the Life. I'm just going to do the Beatles. Hello, Ruby Tuesday. When you come upon this, and people are trying to put this in a basket of some sort, and then they see you, and the audience that we're surrounded by doesn't know they look at their Spotify playlist. They don't know Chamber Pop from Schmember Schmoop. They don't know. But journalists spend 98% of their time trying to categorize these days, and you've come into the world of being a band or a burrito having to deal with this every day.
You know, when you write, it's hard to totally take yourself out of a space of how is this going to be heard? Is it going to be listened to on iPhone speakers? You know, is it going to be heard on some Spotify playlist? And that's weird, and I actually really don't like that aspect of being a band, but so I try to minimize it as much as possible.
By showing up to see us, like when our fans even come to the concert, they've already agreed that either they know what's going on or they know they're gonna not know what's going on sometimes, but they're there for the whole experience. And that, like, we have fans who are just truly, it's tough for me. Like, there are only a couple bands that I'm even that kind of passionate about, and these are people who come see us in places where, like, it wasn't a great show, it wasn't a nice place, and they drove or stuff like that. But it's always nice to know that when people come to see us, they're on board for this thing, and then it's so easy to pour ourselves into it because they're fully supportive. They're there for that.
It's been written way too many times, and you've said way too many times, not your fault, we've tried to make this record sound live. Having to track this thing with all of these people, and then you as the master composer, how do you rally them all in? I mean, seriously, you're obviously fanatical. That's a given because you are who you are, but how do you think you achieve the live thing?
Well, you know, the first record, not so well, because the record was written for all these instruments and there was all these like important glockenspiel parts and string lines that were really hard to reduce to one violin, because it was four instruments. And as it's gone on, I think I've been a little bit more like, I've been thinking about this group of people more, and so when I was writing the newest record, I basically wrote it for eight musicians as opposed to for, 25. And I think that was really the difference, is being able to picture what we can do on stage. Picture Steven playing his saxophone or Michael playing his drum.
Your song titles this time are one word, one word, one word, one word, one word. Oh, we got up to three words. Oh, the last song, I expanded to five whole words. There's a purpose here, right? There is thought behind the... I mean, because you compose these songs, you don't start out with the title. I know that.
Right. Yeah, no, you don't at all. The title happens last. And I think that in general, I've always found that whenever I have written songs with long titles, we just end up calling them one word anyway.
That lift where you got stuck with listening to ABBA and the Village People.
Some really solid songwriting, so I don't want to shit on ABBA.
However,
it was just amusing because it was very clear that he looked me up and down, thought, oh, this guy looks about as white guy can look, and then he chose ABBA.
And the Village People, yes! Everybody in this band, or majority of people in this band, also are doing their own thing. So when you go on tour, when you said, I'm going to do this, I want to be with these guys, and you know that you're about to give up a big, big chunk of your thang, tell me about that.
For me, the timing of joining this band was perfect because I had recently finished a record with my band, but I still have not been ready to release it. So I actually found that beyond it just being like a really good opportunity and sort of perfect timing for my personal growth as a musician, it's been good because it's bought me some time to further develop. You know, for me, it's relaxed.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you each get to pick a few songs in between.